In the youth pulling off these days. Well, we do have a place to turn for answers. Matter of fact, we're told in the Bible to look to those things to encourage us, which is what we're looking to do as we go to part two of bullies. You can get out your outline tonight. There's a lot written on there already for you, but I wanted to make sure that you write down the scripture verses so you can go back to them this week. How did this all begin? Let me give you a little recap where we started. We are studying a passage in the book of Proverbs. And this is what it reads, Proverbs 6, starting at 16. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. And last week we honed in on the passage that said here that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. We talked about how that was people who bully, people who persecute. And we are going to continue this topic tonight. We learned that if we followed Jesus Christ, we will be bullied. We will be treated unfairly, and we will even be injured. Innocent blood will be shed. Loving emotions will be betrayed. And kind actions will be returned with cruel measures. And we looked at some takeaways to help us get through these bullying times when we're bullied. Well, tonight, I want to focus on a final takeaway. It's a takeaway that God gives us to encourage us and to strengthen us in times of persecution. He tells us to look ahead, and he gives us the end of the book. So I want to read that for you tonight. I believe we have that for you to read. And you can write that scripture verse down at the end. This is 2 Thessalonians 1. I believe it's 5 through 10. It might say 3 through 10, but it's 5 through 10. And it says this. All this trouble, this bullying, is a clear sign that God has decided to make you fit for the kingdom. You're suffering now, but justice is on the way. When the Master, Jesus Christ, appears out of heaven in a blaze of fire with his strong angels, he'll even up the score by settling accounts with those who gave you such a bad time. His coming will be the break we've been waiting for. Those who refused to know God and refused to obey the message will pay for what they've done. Eternal exile from the presence of the Master and his splendor is their sentence. But on that very same day, when he comes, he will be exalted by his followers and celebrated by all who believe. And all because you believe what we told you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. See, the takeaway that Paul is offering us here to encourage us through tough times and bullying times is to always, always, always remember what's coming. Don't be afraid to look forward in time and remind yourself and encourage yourself by what is coming. Paul is instructing us to meditate on what is coming, to pray about what is coming, and to remind each other what is coming. And that is what we are going to do here tonight. We are going to look at what is coming. Where is this world going? And what is it going to be like? But first, I just want to give you a couple guidelines here. Because when you start talking eschatology, which is what this is called, the study of the end times, things can get a little crazy. So let me give you a couple of guidelines I'm going to ask you to live by. And I'll teach you all I know about this in the next 25 minutes. First, God definitely let this issue be slightly mysterious. He veiled the times. He made it so we couldn't know everything about it, but we can know a lot. That's the first thing. We don't know everything about the end times. Second thing, there's a lot of debate about these details. There's a lot of details in this stuff, and you'll see them tonight. And there's debate about it. When is this going to happen? Is this going to happen before this? What exactly is this looking like? There's lots of debate about this kind of thing. What you will be learning tonight is what is the accepted standard at Philadelphia Biblical University, Dallas Theological Seminary. But there are other views on when things are going to happen, exactly how it's going to take place. So that's what you're going to be learning tonight. The third is that this whole concept of studying what's going to come is supposed to promote unity. It's supposed to encourage us. That's what Paul said. Shouldn't divide us. So, keep that in mind as you talk to others about this, and they may think a little bit different. Number four. I, Drew Kleinbill, am not an expert on the end times. I am not an expert. You can out-debate me all day long. I am just telling you all the things I've studied and what I've learned, but I'm not an expert. And lastly, and this is a biggie, you are allowed as believers to disagree about some of the details of this. Some of the details, you're allowed to disagree. Some are cut and dry, real clear, but there are going to be some details that it's okay to disagree with your best friend, your brother, your mother, me. It's okay to disagree on some small details in here. Okay, those are disclaimers. Let's get into it. Let's start seeing where this is all going. Ready? You and I are living in the time known as the church age. That's what we live in. This is the church age. Why is it called the church age? Because God is working, God is instructing, and God is abiding inside of the believers who are collectively known as the church. The church is how God dispenses himself to the world. He said, when they see you, you're going to be an example of me. He's going to put his spirit inside of us and have us travel through the world and promote God's kingdom. The church age is what we live in, and we are the church, and we are how God is getting to people through one another, through our witness, through our how we study the Bible with them. So, that's the church age. But the church age is going to end, guys. One day, this is going to be over, the whole church age. And let's read how that's going to happen. Again, write down these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Here's what it says about the church age ending. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Now, first, all of the Christians, get this, all of the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord, that's Jesus, in the air and remain with him forever. So, and here it is again, Paul saying again, so comfort each other with these words. This event that we just talked about, this Jesus coming down to the clouds, all of the people who have died since Jesus' death, all the believers who have died from then up until the rapture, who had faith in Jesus, will rise from their graves, go to be with Jesus, and those who are believers who are alive will rise right up and go into the heavens with Jesus. This event is known as the rapture. The church age will end. That's the end of the church age, when Jesus appears in the skies and takes all the believers from the church age to heaven with him. All right? The rapture will usher in enormous events. Big things are going to happen in heaven, and big things are going to happen here on earth. Everything is going to change. First, let's look at what happens about with these people who have been believers in Jesus Christ who go to heaven. What goes on there? First, believers from the church age, that's us, will get their new bodies. How do we know that? Let's look it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 51 to 53. But let me tell you a wonderful secret. This is Paul. Let me tell you a wonderful secret that God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment. It will happen in the blinking of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, and when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies. That's what I just told you. The resurrection of those who believe in Jesus Christ from the day Jesus died till this rapture. Then, we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. For our perishable bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. It's happening at the rapture. This will be the initial event that ends the church age. This is the next thing that's coming in our timeline. Now, number two, what will happen at this point? Along with the new bodies that each believer will personally get, each person who believed in Jesus Christ will stand in front of him. this is cool. Each person individually stands in front of Jesus Christ, who will sit upon his throne, and he will ask each one individually, give an account for the life that I entrusted you with. What did you do with the life I gave you? This is not an issue of did you accept Jesus as your Savior or not. That's already done. That's been decided by who went up in the rapture, okay, from those in the church age. Jesus will evaluate. He will evaluate what each one has done with the opportunities that Jesus gave us in our daily lives. And he will then hand out your eternal reward and your eternal position. Remember, Jesus told us this. Store up treasure for yourselves in heaven. Remember we studied that? If our work on earth, if the account we give has focused on earthly treasure, if it's focused on all the things we can get, our possessions for ourselves, if it's focused on all the pleasures we can possibly have for ourselves, if it's focused on all the positions that we can climb in our corporate ladders, well, those works are going to be burned up. And only what was done for Christ will last. And that will be rewarded. Romans 14:10 says this. Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. It's right there for us, guys. That is incredible information. But what are we to do about it? How do we act on it? Basically, the so what question needs to be answered here. Well, Paul's instruction to remember the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ should inspire us. It should inspire each of us daily at our jobs. It should inspire us to notice the God opportunities in our daily lives, to act on those Holy Spirit impulses that God impresses upon us, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty, and where thieves break in and steal. All that temporal stuff doesn't last. Instead, as we read, store your treasure in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten and rusty, and where they will be safe from thieves. When I grew up, I went to a Pentecostal church in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and church consisted for us of Sunday morning of having Sunday school class and then your big service. In our Sunday school class, we got a different Sunday school teacher as you moved along in age. And I had been leaving one of my favorite Sunday school teachers, and I was getting this new guy. I was going to go be with him with a bunch of my cousins, and his name was Charlie Bennett. And Charlie Bennett had real, real short hair, horn-rimmed glasses, real skinny guy, looked like the old Dennis the Menace's father way back in the old Jay North days. If you guys, I know you young kids don't know what I'm talking about, but you, a couple of you over 40 know who I'm talking about. He looked like that. I was, oh, man, that's my Sunday school teacher. Well, Charlie Bennett did some amazing things. One of the first things he did was say, we're going on an outing, guys. I'm taking you guys to Yankee Stadium. Now, I had never been to Yankee Stadium in my life. I just would never have had a chance to go to Yankee Stadium the way my life played out. But Charlie Bennett drove his car around all of Union County, picking up all these ragtag kids. And my guess is he probably even paid for the tickets. And took us to Yankee Stadium, where I watched Bucky Dent, and Chris Chambliss, and Greg Nettles, Roy White, the greats. And I'll never forget what it was like walking up those stairs. Charlie Bennett did that for us. What an amazing thing for him to do for these little boys. I know what it's like to give your time, to use your car, use your gas. We weren't perfect kids. We weren't kids who were wonderful. But he did that for us. And then he would take us down the shore. We would go on the beach and we would play. He always brought a football. We would play and laugh and have an amazing time. Funny how he would invest all that time in us and that energy. Taking that opportunity that God gave him to be with these young 10, 12-year-old boys. And then on Sunday morning, we would sit down in the basement of this smelly old building in Elizabeth, sit around a table with a terrible tablecloth on it, and he would teach us the stories of David and Goliath and Elijah and Othniel. And we listened. It was amazing what that guy did for me and my cousins at that time. Each of us, gang, has been given, entrusted with a gift, a talent, an ability, a spiritual gift. The Bible says, as far as this judgment seat of Christ and God rewarding you, talking about your treasure, what you stored up, the Bible says, even if you gave a cup of cold water for Jesus, that's getting rewarded. This judgment seat of Christ is coming. Every single one of us will stand in front of it. And Jesus will say, give an account for your life. And for the life of me, I would love to be standing in the stands when Charlie Bennett goes up. Because I'll be a nut. Yeah! That's Charlie Bennett! Jesus, load him up! He was awesome! He took us every Thursday night, to Ornanco Park to play softball. And I looked forward to it like it was the World Series. Doesn't sound like much. I became a pastor. Charlie Bennett was a big part of that. Amazing. Allow me to give you a takeaway. Let the judgment seat of Christ that's coming, let it encourage you. Because guess what? God says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. God blesses those who are hated and excluded and mocked and cursed because you are identified with me, the Son of Man. When this happens, Jesus says, when this happens, when you're mocked and cursed, rejoice. Leap for joy. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. Man. So not only what we've done, but what we've endured for Christ will be rewarded. How's that for a little encouragement next time you're bullied? But ask yourself this question. If I were to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ tonight, if tonight was your night, not that it's going to be, I'm going to be Mr. Morbid, but what if Jesus said to you, what'd you do with the life I gave you? How did you invest that life? How would you feel? My guess is most of the people I know who have done an awful lot for Christ, if I could ask Charlie Bennett how he would feel, his first response would be, oh, I didn't do enough. And the people who've done nothing for Christ would think, I've done more than anybody else. Back to our timeline. As we said, major events would be triggered in the heavens and on earth by the rapture. Major deal. This is the next step that's coming. End of the church age, rapture happens. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ is gone. We have looked at what will take place in heaven, but meanwhile, back at the ranch, back on earth, life is still going on. Well, the earth will then head into the worst period it has ever experienced. Not a single believer in Jesus Christ is left upon the earth. And when that happens, a powerful leader is going to rise up. The Bible makes it clear. We'll read it to you in a minute. A powerful leader will rise up and he will do what no one has been able to do for thousands of years. He will heal the problems between Israel and all of the Middle East. Finally, peace in the Middle East. This powerful leader will do that. He will look really, really good at first. That's great stuff. Except it's just kind of a sham. Because then he's going to turn on Israel. And he will oppress and persecute Israel and all that God stands for. This time, after the rapture is over, this time is called the tribulation period. And it will last for 7 years. Let's read it, just so you have this. This is 2 Thessalonians, right? 2 Thessalonians 3 through 4. Okay, read both those chapters. Actually, you can go from 3 to 4, 9 or 12, but read both chapters. Here's what it says. That day will not come until the man of evil appears. This is the guy we're talking about, the Antichrist. He belongs to hell, the Bible says. He is against anything called God or anything that people worship. And the man of evil puts himself above anything called God or anything that people worship. And the man of evil even goes into God's temple and sits there. Then he says that he is God. The man of evil will come. This is verse, chapter 4, verse 9. The man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power. He will do many different false miracles, signs, and wonders. He will use every kind of evil to trick those who are lost. Jesus said this in Matthew 25, verses 21 through 25. At that time, there will be much trouble. This is Jesus speaking, telling us what's going to happen. There will be more trouble than has ever happened since the beginning of the world, and nothing as bad as this will ever happen again. God has decided to make this terrible time short, Jesus said. 7 years is short to God, apparently. If that time were not made short, then no one would go on living. But God will make that time short to help the people he has chosen. We are not going to spend a lot of time tonight, guys, reading all the scriptures explaining the tribulation period. But you can read them yourself. Let me give those to you. Revelation, chapters 6 through 18. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And Matthew, chapter 24, 4 through 28. If I'm going too fast, come see me later and we'll take care of that. Now, when you do read this, you will see that Jesus' words describing this time as the gravest and most horrible times on the face of the earth are indeed accurate. But rest assured, gang, the tribulation period will end as well. It will last 7 years, and then Jesus will make good on his promise to return all the way to the earth. The rapture, he only came down to the heavens. This time, Jesus is coming all the way back down to the earth. And it's time. It is time, according to God, for the earth to take its rightful form. It is when God will reassess all of the face of the earth, and God will take out all of the sin that is in the earth. Jesus will set up a kingdom here on earth, a sinless kingdom that his apostles spoke, that he spoke to his apostles about. The tribulation will end with Jesus riding down from the heavens to take control of the earth, and he will set up the kingdom. And everyone on earth will witness this incredible entrance. All these people on earth will see it happening. Some will respond with great sorrow, those who follow the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself. Others will respond with great joy because the tribulation is over. Here's how the Bible explains this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. We'll start there. Then I saw the heaven open. There before me was a white horse, and the rider of the horse is called Faithful and True. He is right when he judges and makes war. His eyes are like burning fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him, but he is the only one who knows the name. No other person knows the name. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of the heavens are following him on white horses. They are dressed in fine, white, clean linen. A sharp sword comes out of the rider's mouth, and he will use this sword to defeat the nations. He will rule them with a scepter of iron. He will crush out the wine in the winepress of the terrible anger of God all-powerful. On his robe and on his leg are written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus comes to set up his kingdom, he will call what we call the millennial kingdom, because it's going to last 1,000 years, a millennium. It will be the kingdom on earth that we've all dreamed about. It's going to be the kingdom we all longed for. It will begin with another judgment, though. Christ will judge those who accepted him throughout the entire tribulation period. Because during that tribulation period, as bad as it's going to be for those 7 years, there are people who are going to turn to God. People who didn't listen when the church was here, but people who listened when trouble times came. Jesus will judge them, just like he had judged us. He will also judge those who followed the Antichrist through the tribulation. At the start of this millennial kingdom, Jesus will then cast Satan and his followers into hell and lock them there for 1,000 years. Jesus will reign as King David's descendant for 1,000 years, fulfilling the prophecy. He will be the king on earth for 1,000 years. Righteousness, peace, joy. These are what will characterize this kingdom. Christ will have removed all who were against him and all who were against his people. The bullies are gone. But the millennial kingdom is really only a taste of the final world that God will create. The millennial kingdom will end as well. There will be three final judgments before we finally reach the end. The first is the judgment of Satan and his followers. Revelation 20, 7 and 10 says this. When the 1,000 years are up, so he's talking about the millennial kingdom there, Satan will be let loose from his cell. Remember we said Satan had been locked in hell? The devil who deceived them will then be hurled into the lake of fire and brimstone. The end. The final end of Satan. The second judgment, though, is the great white throne judgment. And it's when all the people from the beginning of time, remember we talked about at the rapture, it was all the people who believed in Jesus from the time Jesus came and died for us. But now there's going to be another resurrection. It'll be all the people from the beginning of time, those before the church age. They will give an account to whether or not they put their faith in God. And it tells us this in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 14. Here's what it says. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was sitting on it. Earth and sky ran away from him and disappeared. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the book of life was opened. There were also other books opened. Check this out. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And each person was judged by what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, where Satan is. The lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The third and final judgment we see, closing out the whole thing, is the judgment against the heavens and the earth. Here's what it says. The skies will disappear with a loud noise. Everything in the skies will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything on it will be burned up. When that day comes, the skies will be destroyed by fire, and in the skies they will melt with heat. But God made a promise to us, and we are waiting for what he promised. A new heaven and a new earth where goodness lives. That's 2 Peter 3, 10 and 13, through 13. And finally, I want to finish by reading you this. You can sit back. I didn't put this on the PowerPoint. This is Revelation 21. This is the end. This is where it's all going to wind up. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And then there was no more sea. And I, John, this is John the Apostle who saw this, God gave him this view, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, the end. No more sorrow. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, they're all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, John, write. For these words are true, and they're faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him who is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. There is so much that we covered tonight. We're back here in the church age. This is all what's coming. We're going to be bullied. That's how this all started, didn't it? Last Saturday we started talking about this idea of being bullied. Well, God's going to straighten out all of it. We have what we need to focus on. I'm going to ask the band to come back and our worship leaders and give us an opportunity to talk about the promises of God right to God. These are God's promises. This is what he says. This is where he says we're headed. This is where it's going to go. You and I can be encouraged by the fact that all will be taken care of. We will be rewarded for what we go through. And as for the bullies, leave that in God's hands. You don't need to be judge and jury on that. You need to let God be judge and jury on that. He'll take care of all of it. As you saw, all old things will be passed away and we'll be in a new heaven and a new earth. So, as we sing this last song, maybe take an opportunity to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for where this is all headed. And thank you for keeping me strong through those times that I was bullied. And when you are standing in front of that throne, judgment seat of Christ, and he asks you to give an account for your life, I'll give you a Charlie Bennett cheer too. Say, God, these guys made it through. They suffered, but they did it for you. So let's enjoy God's promises as we sing together.